Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go. Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, where we fiercely empower women to own their authority, lead with confidence, and rise in business. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, and I'm committed to sharing with you 35 years of experience of being an entrepreneur, starting a company from scratch, and then building it into a multi-million dollar business. I'm going to share nuggets that I call my wisdom highlights because I started out in business in my early 20s. I had dark hair. It is now all white, and I've earned every single one. That's why I call them my wisdom highlights. And, you know, what I'm really here to do with Superheroes in Heels is to fiercely empower you to take on your role as the CEO of your business, as whatever position you're in. I want you to own that role in such a way that nobody wants to take it away from you, right? And they really want to see you progress to the next level, whatever that is. I want to encourage you to learn faster, learn a whole lot faster than I ever did. Challenge yourself to grow and be the strong woman in business that you're meant to be. Superheroes in Heels is here to cheer you on to go after any position in business that's in your heart, whether it's in a male-dominant field, whether it's a field that you create all on your own, whether it's a traditional, you know, field for women. If you're a stay-at-home mom, just own that space with, you know, with all authority, all power. You know, find that way to fully step into being successful and being able to take care of yourself, your family, your community, with some grace, some grit, and resiliency. So I just want to say thank you for joining me over here with Superheroes in Heels. I'm excited for today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that a lot of people don't talk about. And that is, you know, for you to stop being the nice person, right? The nice person, right? It's time to stop being the nice person. You know, for whatever reason in our the hierarchy of business, men can say no, men can get straight to the point, men can, take on that space of saying, here's what the price is, and people will believe them. And they don't ask them for discounts, and they don't ask them to do something different than what you're offering, right? But today I want to really talk about how we're losing money being the nice person. And we need to stop doing that, ladies, okay? It doesn't mean you can't be a nice person, but we're going to talk about the difference between what I'm talking about of being the nice person versus being a nice person. And I'm going to share with you two ways that being a nice person or the nice person, right, is losing you money. It's losing you respect. It's creating frustration, overwhelm for you, which turns to you wanting to quit. You want to hide out, giving up. Often, you know, keeps you in the same small place year after year. And you're thinking to yourself, well, how come she, somebody who has less qualifications than you, somebody who has less experience than you, how are they getting ahead of you when you're struggling to continue to move forward? And so I really want to talk about that today. That's going to be one of the ways where I'm going to show you that you could be losing money in your business and your structures and your systems, and just in being the nice person. Okay. So the first one, as I've already kind of alluded to, this is called discounting. You're discounting your products and your services. People ask you if you'll give them a discount, and you do. And you're doing it because it's more important for you to make the sale than to be consistent with your pricing, right? Or you're constantly putting things on sale because you're not getting the right hits. You're not getting the right hits, not because of your skill set, not because of, whether you're too high price or anything else, right? You're not getting those hits because you're not showing the value that they're going to get. Remember, when people are buying from you, it's not about you. You don't go to the store and say, grocery store, you're at the grocery store, do I want to buy this mac and cheese? How's the vendor going to feel if I don't buy their mac and cheese? But if I buy their mac and cheese, how are they going to feel if I do buy their mac and cheese? Look, they're not going to feel anything. They feel the profits. They feel the losses because somebody didn't buy it. And if they're not buying it, they change their advertising strategy. Okay. They're not heart connected to it like you are. Okay. But what you have to think about is, what is it that you are offering? What is the value? What are you nourishing them with, right? If we're taking a food metaphor with the mac and cheese, right? By the way, there's no nourishment in that at all. I could have used some other one, but that one seems common. But think about it, right? Is how do you show the value of your program? What's the transformation that they're going to get, right? What's the peace of mind you're offering them? How will you get to help create that for them, right? What's the shift that could happen if they work with you? What's going to happen if they buy your products? What's going to happen if they don't buy your product or service, right? Look, you can't be double-minded when you put your pricing out. You have to be consistent. You have to take on it's not about being a nice person. It's about, this is a business and I have a business to run. And with every business comes a lot of expenses, right? The cost of having internet, the cost of having the cell phone, the cost of doing Zoom calls, the cost of, sending them stuff through the internet because you had to pay for that internet anyway, right? Like all of that, all of those things in business, the cost of gas to go work for the client, right? The cost of creating forms, like everything in business costs something. We're not even talking about insurance and licenses and taxes and everything else, but all of those things add up. And when you're discounting your prices, you can't discount those expenses, right? And so it's not fair for you to feel like you should have to always discount it. But women, we're nice people. We have been trained and indoctrinated in believing that we are supposed to be nice, that we are supposed to give people a break, that we are supposed to, help people out. And I get it. I'm going to show you some ways at the end on how you can do some of this stuff, but you have to really look at, this is my business and I have to treat it like a business. If I'm not willing to treat it like a business with my pricing, with my structures, with all the things that I have in it, then how do you actually really believe that they're going to see you as that business coach, as that business consultant, as that person who has that experience that they need, right? As that service-based provider, whatever the industry is, right? You have to make sure that you're offering them the true value of what it is that they need in their life, as well as all of what they want in that space as well. So you can't be double-minded about this. You have to set your pricing. You have to keep your structures, plan it out, make it work, and then tell them the value. And they say, I can't afford it. You know what? I'm going to get to the, like I said, I'm going to show you how you can do this. But one of the things that comes up for me sometimes is people say, I can't afford that, Kimberly. I'm like, well, what could you afford? Because at least then I get an idea, right? What if I could give you a strategy session and we can find a way for you to create some more money? Would that be helpful? Then would you be able to afford it? Great. Let's put a deposit down for the coaching, and then I will do a strategy session for you to create some more income, right? I want to help. I want to add value, right? Your price, I want to say, when it comes to doing your business, I said to people, like I know people who start out in, let's say, coaching, right? I've been in coaching for over 20 years before coaching was even popular. Okay. Right. Coaching, when I was in coaching, when you said coaching, they talked about the coaches in sports. Okay. I've been doing coaching and working with clients for more than 20 years now. And look, pricing changes. It all has changed. And it's hard to be competitive now when everybody calls themselves a coach. You got to ask yourself, how can you differentiate yourself from that? Okay. You see my little tongue tie that just happened there? But you cannot be double-minded about your pricing. You pick a price. You own that. Don't be wishy-washy. It should stretch you and your client. Because if something doesn't stretch you, like, come on. The reality is, if it doesn't stretch you, you're not going to push yourself to be better. And they're not going to push themselves to be better either. I'm telling you. But you do have to be competitive. You cannot outprice your competition, so much so, especially when you're starting out. I had people who joined to become coaches, right? They were charging $25 an hour. I'm over here at $100 an hour, okay? They're getting clients, but they're also only providing a $20, $25 an hour coach level. I'm at $100 a level. I'm getting clients, and I'm providing $150 worth of experience, knowledge, and skill set, right? Huge difference. You can be a $20 coach and you're going to work yourself to death. But if you elevate yourself, to that level that is just a stretch with my competition, can be equal to or right close by, I'm not the cheapest coach. I won't ever be, because I have over 25 years of experience. I have knowledge from coaching at a coach school. I was a facilitator at a coach school and trained other coaches. I have been in business and I've built a business from the ground up to a multi-million dollar corporation. I have the knowledge and experience for me to be, the level of coach that I am now. I don't charge $100, by the way. It's higher than that at this point. But if you ever want to check out with me, check with me and let me know. But my point is you have to be competitive with your knowledge and your skill set, okay? And the more that you do it, I tell people, you give yourself a raise every year, okay? You tell people in December, hey, I'm raising my prices in January. Now's the time to get in and get grandfathered in at the current prices. I don't care if you raise your price $10. I don't care if you raise it $20, but you need to raise your price every single year. Because guess what? The economy changes every single year. It's never going to go back down to minimum wage at $7 an hour. We're at $17 an hour, okay, coming in January, right? So like, understand that if you're not willing to match and meet where your competition is, then how can you be competitive? Okay, I'll get off that little high horse right there for a second. Look, I just want you to know that when you're working with your business, you have to set competitive prices and stop discounting them to be the nice person, right? I'll give you some more strategies towards the end. But the second thing I want to talk about today is something that somebody else came up with this name, and so I use it, and sometimes it gets me in a tongue tie, all right? But I'm going to say it anyway. Okay. The second one is scope creep. Scope creep is a continuous expansion on changes of the project that from when your project began. You know, think about it that way. Look, I'm in the middle right now of a room remodel in my home. And when I started the project, the contractor gave me the budget based on everything that we put into it. Let's be honest, okay? I really had no idea what I really needed to know to basically manage the project of this home remodel piece, right? I'm learning a lot in this process. But every time I make a change for what's going on. So we decided we needed more outlets in one room, and we decided we wanted to have cable and Ethernet core strong, right? I didn't think of that to begin with. Of course, I didn't think of it in the end. My husband did. He came up with that idea, right? But every single time I go to my contractor and we make a change, he does something called a change order. And what he does is he creates his change order. He sends it to me in email. I have to approve it. And it also shows the extra added cost to add this change to our original budget, right? The scope of the budget that we originally had, add a change, new scope, right? New budget. And yeah, it's getting higher and higher. And I told my husband, whoa, buddy, you got to slow down. This was not in my budget. But every time that a change occurs in the project, there's more money transaction happening. Okay, so let's bring this down to business. And I've been talking about this for years, but when it comes to a service-based business, and I know this is happening to some of you, that's why I decided to do this podcast today. I want to tell you about one of my clients back a few years. One of my clients, her name was Antoinette, and she worked in medical billing. And she hired me to work with her because she was struggling with ways to make money in her business, right? And so, you know, she suddenly found herself a widow. Her husband's income went away, and now she has to really amp up her business in order to survive. But she's had a whole bunch of clients for years, and she was noticing that so many problems were happening when it came to paying the bills that things were just not meeting up. And she was overworked, and she was having all kinds of problems. So she hired me to help her figure that out. Okay. So I had her get me her client, you know, information, like what did they pay for the services and what are the services that they were, that she was actually providing? Like, what did you agree to when you first took them on? And what are you currently providing now? She had multiple clients that had been adding things to her plate without paying any more money for these projects. Okay. And she let them. Not because she meant to, because unlike my contractor who says, oh, you know, she'd just say something like, I can add that. Okay. The client would say, hey, you know what? Can you also do this for me? Can you get me this report? Oh, can you do this report monthly for me? Because you're so much faster at it and you're so much better at it than I am. Are you getting my point? Like, they just kept adding things because she was good at it. She was creating more value for them, and they love that. The problem was she didn't put in a change order. She just did it without asking for extra pay, right? Without more time. She was just filling her time with these same clients, and she couldn't take on too many more clients because she had put in so much extra time to the clients that she currently had. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call scope creep. Creeping past the scope of the original agreement without paying more. Is this ringing a bell for some of y'all? Okay. Look, scope creep isn't about just a little minor change that happened. It's just more like a gradual or sudden increase in the project scope without proper management or control of the project. People think that, you know, I talk systems and I talk structures with my clients in the Hive Society, mainly over in the Hive Society. I really dig down on really strategic things and structures and systems and checklists and things, all of that in the Hive Society, which is my paid membership program. But what happens when we take on more and more and more is we're losing money. You've now discounted your rate so low. Like, and anybody who's like, oh, okay, she'll take it. That's great. You know, the client's all happy and satisfied, right? They're not leaving her. And the reason they're not leaving her is because they know they're getting so much out of her. That wasn't serving her. it sure wasn't paying the bills for this now widowed woman who really needed to be able to take care of herself without her husband's income also. It often happens very subtly. It's a little tiny thing, no big deal, right? It can disrupt projects, timelines, your budgets, overall success for you, all of those things. And what I really want you to do is start paying attention to scope creep. Okay. Like, what causes it? Well, what causes it is poorly defined requirements, right? Your initial requirements for the project is not clearly defined, right? And that leaves room for what we say, misinterpretation and changes and adding more things to it. And because it's not clearly defined, even for you as the person who's providing the services, right? Then they get away with it. You don't even know to pay attention to it. So I hope if nothing else today, your head starts going, your reticular activating system says, whoa, hold on. I'm watching for this now. You gave it an instruction to watch for scope creep, right? Watch for the discounting, right? Other reasons that this happens is lack of communication. Poor communication between, you know, the project, you doing the project or your team doing a project and the stakeholders, the people who are paying the bills, the people who are running the company. Don't think it's just you if you're a one-off person. This could be in your company, right? You can have somebody else managing a project and this same thing happens as well. So that lack of communication or inadequate planning, that's the biggest one. You're not fully understanding your whole project scope, the resources, the timelines when you first give your quote and take on the new client. And you really have to pay more attention to that. And some of you might be beginners and go like, I didn't even know I was supposed to think of that. Okay, that's okay. That's why I'm doing this podcast, right? So understand that when you blow open the project and you allow clients to scope creep on you, there's huge consequences. Your budgets, right, go out the window. It takes up time that you can't ever replace, and you can't bring in a new client without feeling overwhelmed and overworked because you've taken on so much more over here. Missed deadlines. It could reduce the quality of services that you're providing for other clients, including the one who is scope creeping on you. Okay. That increased workload, it creates, like I said, overwhelm, frustration, and it feels like it's totally out of control, right? And you never really get ahead. And that to me is heartbreaking. I don't want the people that I work with to experience that because it just tears down your confidence. It tears down your commitment, what you wanted to create when you first got into business to begin with. And I don't want that for you. I don't want you to be the nice person. I want you to be a business person. You can still be a nice person without being the nice person. Okay, and losing money. I hope that you're really hearing that from my heart. This happens more often in women than it does with men. And I really want you to hear that I want you to succeed. I want you to be able to take care of your family. I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to be able, in Antoinette's case, she did not have kids either. She had to take care of herself. She had nephews and nieces and, you know, family members out there. She had community she wanted to be involved in, but she had to learn to take care of herself first. So what are some strategies? So I said I was going to come back to the discounting one. What are some strategies to move you past discounting and scope creep? So with discounting, okay, choose a price and stick with it. And then, of course, raise it every year, like I said. But own it and show people how much value is in your program, in your system, in what you have to offer, the transformation that they're going to get, right? That peace of mind that you're going to help them to create, the life shift that could happen when they work with you or buy your products and services. Then I say, give them more than you promised. Don't tell everything that you're going to give them. Tell them about the transformation. Tell them, you know, yeah, we're going to meet once a week. Okay, you can get the structure pieces out there. No problem. Okay. But then give more than you promised. So when it comes to coaching, as an example, some of the things that I used to do is I would, you know, leave some of the fun things, those fun extras that I would add. I wouldn't tell them out with the clients when I'd get them, but I would add them in, like sending gifts, send them a notebook to journal in, a $10 gift card for, you know, the bucks or whatever to go and sit and have coffee and move your office for a little bit, right? Send them a coffee mug or a tea mug, you know, a coffee mug with some tea in it to some chamomile, something that helped that make them relax, right? Notes of encouragement. Send them, you know, little notes in the mail when they have milestone markers and thank you notes when they're getting their homework in on time to you. See, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but you can add extra value. I would send my clients checklists, right? Or forms of something similar to what they were working on that they could, you know, recreate so they weren't starting out from the beginning. I would email these things to them as added value for what they were doing, right? It's a little aid, a little something extra. How about sending some texts, some quotes, or quick words of wisdom? Right? Maybe you could send them, it wasn't what I did, I would send them more business quotes, but you could send them the happiness quote of the day, whatever that is to encourage them, to keep them moving forward. Send them a little inspiring message, do a little video or a little audio text to them. Send a little video to them, send them e-cards. Do you see, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You just have to put some time and energy into it that adds value. Again, it's not because you discounted or it's not because you didn't plan out the value. You just didn't tell them all of it. But this part is all planned. Showcase them on your social media, right? Find a referral for them. All ways that you can add value and keep a fair and reasonable price point that is competitive without discounting, because they may not know everything that you're going to do, but when you do more, they're going to stay with you longer. And the other thing is, look, sometimes you might discount. See, being a business owner, one of the best things is that if I really and truly know somebody who's struggling, I can offer them a free coaching session. I can offer them a discounted coaching session. But here's my rule of thumb. This is, if you want to do those kinds of things to be the nice person, then do it in a way that serves you. So for me, I used to do a free coaching session for women who were survivors of rape, sexual assault, or domestic violence. How I would do that is for every two or three paid clients, I would give one away. So you see, I had to make money first before I could give some away. I want you to understand that if you implement some kind of structure and commitment to it, then you can say, let me put you on my waiting list. And when I get my next client, then I will come over to you. I will come to my waiting list and I will be able to pick the next person that I'm giving coaching sessions away. If you don't want to wait, we could work on finding a ways for you to pay something, right? Something to get them to move forward. So those are the ways that I solve the discount, the nice person when it comes to discounting. So what are some of the strategies and structures and things that you could do for scope creep? First off, clearly define the scope of the job. Establish a well-defined project scope, right? With clear objectives, clear deliverables, clear requirements, what exactly you are going to provide and what exactly they need to provide to you. Plan that out. Look, a lot of times we just want to, they want to hire me. I want to get them to pay now and it's okay. We'll figure all this out later. Don't wait to figure it out. Figure it out. First, just do it quickly. Okay? Sit down and have a plan. Heck, we have AI that can solve this for you now.
Okay. We didn't have that back in the day. Remember, I'm pre-Google. But create the requirements, create the objectives, create the deliverables, do those things first, then send it to the client. Make sure you're both on the same page. Create a change order process, right? Implement those change orders. Manage any charges, anything new, anything they want to add. And if they say, like, hey, you know, this is how much it would cost for you to add that change, and they say, oh, I can't pay anymore. Great. What do you want to remove from the previous list? Okay. Be real, be honest. Which one is more important to them? Get their buy-in. Look, this is going to cost me more time. Something has to come off of the list in order for me to add that. Or if you want to add it and keep this on the list, here's the extra price that it's going to cost. Have effective communication. By communicating those things with them, and you have open communication with your client when they're wanting to add more things on, that ensures everybody is on the same page. If you don't like conflict, what happens is you won't create a negotiating space for your clients because of the reason you don't like conflict. It's not about conflict. It's about negotiations. This is business. It's one or the other. It's money or take something else off of the list. Okay? Create that detailed planning like I talked about. Thoroughly plan out the project. Consider all your resources. What are the timelines? What are the potential risks? Have that in place when you're putting that in the first time. And if they want to add more, please do a change order. Okay. And then do regulation monitoring. Regularly monitor what it is that you are offering for your client, what you are giving to them already. Okay. Monitor it. If you notice, they kind of asked me to do this thing. They asked me again, doing it one time, but now it looks like this is happening on a regular basis. We need to go back and renegotiate this. Right? Address any deviations early on so that we stop this level of scope creep in business with women. Well, that was a lot today to take on. I know it, because most people don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to be real with you here in the Superheroes in Heels podcast. I'm going to be honest with you to say, hey, watch out for these things, because these are the things that are going to burn you out, going to take you down, going to make you close your business to go work for somebody else, because nobody ever said, hey, don't let this happen to you. So I'm so glad that you joined me today here in the Superheroes in Heels. And if you're wondering, yes, I like heels. I wear flats too, right? It all just depends. But I do. One of my superpowers is really paying attention. I see things. I see patterns. I'll look at what's happening in my company, and I see a pattern with an employee. I'll see a pattern with numbers, and I'll go, something's not right here. See, there's a pattern when somebody is scope creeping. There's a pattern when somebody is not willing to pay your prices because they just don't get it. You have to be the one to inform. You have to be the one to negotiate. You're the one who has to step up, because this is your business and it requires you to take on that role like nobody else. You can give grace. You can give love. You can be a wonderful woman in business without being the nice woman. And that's what I hope you got out of today. So, if you want to connect with me even better, you can join me over at the Hive Hangout. Go to KimberlyBorkins.com and you can find the Hive Hangout, or you can just join me, no cost membership that we just kind of connect in there. I give tips on networking, getting out in community and building community. And then, you know, when you're ready, you can move over to the Hive Society. But come and see me and make comments. Let me know what it is that you got out in today's episode. And you could be mentioned in an upcoming episode about what you brought out for us. So thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to, continue this process. I'm committed to Superheroes in Heels and fiercely empowering women to build businesses, to create communities, to, take on the role that they are meant to take on as the CEO of their business, as the manager or project manager, or, whatever that shift is, whatever that job description is that you have. I truly do want you to succeed. It is in my heart for women to succeed. I know what it likes to be the single mom on welfare, struggling to make ends meet. I truly do. And I don't want that for anybody. So thank you for joining me. Look forward to connecting with you soon. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.